Chapter 12. What Makes Grace So Amazing? Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, says, "You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" A woman with a wonderful voice sang one of my favorite songs, "Amazing Grace," just before I spoke at a gathering. It sounded beautiful, until she got to the 10th word. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a soul like me." My heart sank. The word "wretch" had vanished, replaced by the more positive word "soul." Can you imagine what John Newton, the composer and former slave trader, might have said? Newton recognized himself as a wretch, and that's what made God's grace so amazing. The greater our grasp of our sin and alienation from God, the greater our grasp of God's amazing grace. The Bible says, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans chapter 5, verse 8. If we don't allow the word "sinners" its actual meaning, we miss the point. When we cut "wretch" out of amazing grace, we reduce it to something more sensible, less surprising. If we weren't so bad without Christ, then why did he have to endure the cross? Paul said, "If men were good enough without Jesus, then Christ died for nothing." Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Charles Spurgeon put it this way: "Too many think lightly of sin, and therefore think lightly of the Savior. We try to explain away sin in terms of a bad day, or that's not what I meant, or I did what my father always did to me, or I wouldn't have done this if you hadn't done that." All these statements minimize our evil, and thereby minimize the greatness of God's grace in atoning for our evil. Grace isn't about God lowering his standards. It's about God fulfilling those standards through the substitutionary suffering of Jesus Christ. Grace never ignores or violates truth. Grace gave what truth demanded, the ultimate sacrifice for our wickedness. God's grace is greater than my sin, but my ability to measure the greatness of his grace depends upon my willingness, in brokenness before him, to recognize the greatness of my sin. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. The proud deny their evil, the humble confess it. A profound awareness of my evil should move my heart to praise God for the wonders of his grace. Father, what a remarkable promise to us that, unworthy as we are, if we ask, we'll receive. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock, the door will be opened. We've learned the hard way that this doesn't always mean we'll get what we want, but it does mean we'll get what you know to be ultimately best for us. The gate is small, and the road is narrow. So please guide us and keep us on the path of righteousness, for your glory.